Welcome to our once a week podcast entitled What's in a Hymn. It reflects on some of the hymns that God's people have sung for generations. Apologies that my domestic circumstances have meant no podcast for the last couple of weeks, and it may be a bit sporadic going forward. But today we reflect on the hymn Man of Sorrows. This is also known by some as Hallelujah, What a Saviour, as each verse ends with these words. This hymn and its tune was written by Philip Paul Bliss, 1838 to 1876. He was one of the most important American gospel songwriters of that century, a contemporary of Moody and Sankey. This is a favourite hymn of many and is appropriate for Good Friday or a Holy Communion service, or indeed any time that we want to reflect on what our Saviour has done for us on the cross. For this hymn explores the height and depth of Jesus' saving work. The hymn begins with these familiar words, Man of Sorrows. This is a description of Jesus taken from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, where he is described as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Verse 1 continues by effectively asking the question, why give this title to the Son of God who came into the world? So, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. The answer is then given in the verse, ruin sinners to reclaim. So verse 1 is clear that God became man and suffered so that we who are ruined sinners might be reclaimed. Our destiny as sinners condemned by a holy God is eternal ruin, but Jesus came to rescue us. No wonder the verse finishes with, Hallelujah, what a Saviour. Verse 2 begins by reminding us that leading up to the crucifixion there was abuse towards Jesus. The gospel accounts tell us about it, and it was from both Jews and Gentiles, so bearing shame and scoffing rude. But then the rest of verse 2 and verse 3 describes the only answer to human sinfulness and guilt before God, the atonement. So, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? All of this very clearly points to Jesus being our substitute and dying in our place. We deserve to die for being guilty sinners before God, but Jesus, in whom there is no sin, died in our place, bearing God's punishment. God's wrath was meted out on Jesus instead of us. The great act of propitiation. No wonder verses 2 and 3 finish. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. Was this act of substitution and propitiation successful? Verse 4 tells us so clearly. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Here is reference to John chapter 19, verse 30. Jesus' words on the cross, it is finished. The Greek word means paid in full. The cost of our salvation was paid in full by Jesus when he, our substitute, bore God's wrath for our sin and satisfied God's law. As John Blanchard said, the death of Christ was an atonement which totally succeeded, not an attempt that partially failed. And because God the Father was satisfied that the atonement had been made, he raised Jesus up from the dead and took him back to heaven. So, now in heaven, exalted high. Verse 5 shifts the focus to Jesus' triumphant return. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew his song will sing, Hallelujah, what a Saviour. We can never stop singing, Hallelujah, what a Saviour, for on the cross we see the length Jesus went to for our salvation. Amen.